Patita pavana hetu tava avatara. Mosama patita prabhu napai beyara. Aha Prabhu Nityananda Premananda Sukhi. Kripa Bala Kana Koru Ami Bada Du. Daya korosita pati Advaita Gosai. Tava kripa bole pai Chaitanya nita. Aha Svarup Sanatana Rupa Raghunatha. Bhakta Yuga Shijivaha Prabhu Lagana. Daya koro shiya charya Prabhu Srinivas. Ramachandra Sangamage Narottama Das. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Daya Koro More. Toma Vina Ke Dayalu Jagata Samsare. Jayam Vishnupadpam Mahamsa Priva Chakacharya Sattara Sattashi Shimad Shilesi Bhakti Vedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Anantakoti Vaishnavind Ki Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Prem Shri Gohar Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasade Gaur Bhaktivind Ki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gop Gopinath Shama Kund Radha Kund Giri Govardhan Ki Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki. Shri Navadvip Mayapur Dham Ki. Shri Ganga Maya Jamuna Maya Ki. Bhakti Devi Tulasi Maharani Ki. Shri Samaveda Bhakti Vrinda Ki. Nittai Gaur Premanandi. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the lotus feet of Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. So today we're reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 22, text 77 through 81. Se sabha guna haya Vaishnava lakshana. Sabha kaha na yaya kari dig darshana. All these transcendental qualities are the characteristics of pure Vaishnavas, and they cannot be fully explained, but I shall try to point out some of the important qualities. Okay. Kripalu akrita droha satya sarasama. Nidosha badanya mridu suchi akinchana. Sarvopaka raka shanta Krishna ika sharana. Akama niha stira vijita sadguna. Mitta buk aparmata manada amani. Gambira karuna maitra kavi daksha mauni. Okay, translation. Devotees are always merciful, humble, truthful, equal to all, faultless, magnanimous, mild, and clean. They are without material possessions, and they perform welfare work for everyone. They are peaceful, surrendered to Krishna, and desireless. They are indifferent to material acquisitions and are fixed in devotional service. They completely control the six bad qualities, lust, anger, greed, and so forth. They eat only as much as required, and they are not inebriated. They are respectful, grave, compassionate, and without false prestige. They are friendly, poetic, expert, and silent. Okay, text 81, and we'll do this. Tikshava Karunaka Surhida Sarvadehinam Ajata Saratva Santa Sadbhava Sadibhushana. Tikshava Karunaka Surhidam Sarvadehinam Ajata Shatrava Shanta Sadhava Sadhubhushanam. Shikshabakaranakaha. Suridam Sarvadehinam. Sarvadushana. Anyone else? Tikshabakarunaka Suridam Sarvadehinam Ajata Shatrava Santa Sadhava Sadhubhushana Tikshabakarunaka Surhida Sarvadehinam Ajata Satrava Shanta Sadhava Sadhubhushana Tikshaba. Very forbearing. Karunika. Merciful. Suhrida. Who are well wishers. Sarvadehinam, to all living entities, Ajata Shatrava, without enemies, Shanta, peaceful, Sadhava, following the injunctions of the Shastra, Sadhubhushana, who are decorated with good character. Translation in purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Devotees are always tolerant, forbearing, and very merciful. They are the well-wishers of every living entity. They follow the scriptural injunctions, and because they have no enemies, they are very peaceful. These are the decorations of devotees. Purport. This is a quotation from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3.25.21. When the sages, headed by Shanaka, inquired about Kapiladev, the incarnation of Godhead, Sutta Goswami, who was the topmost devotee of the Lord, quoted talks about self-realization between Maitreya and a friend of Vyasadeva and Vidura. It was then that the topic of Lord Kapila came up and his discussions with his mother, wherein he stated that attachment to material things is the cause of conditional life. When a person becomes attached to transcendental things, he is on the path of liberation. Omagyanati mirandasya chananjana salakaya chakshunmi tamina tasmai shigirve maha. Sorry. I was just thinking how I have none of these qualities. So when I read this, I was thinking this last line of the purport. Srila Prabhupada talks about how attachment to material things is the cause of conditioned life. And it reminded me of Bharat Maharaj, because he was a great king. In fact, he was the emperor of the entire world. And that's where Bharat Varsh came from. It was named for him. He was such an amazing king. It said that all of the people in his kingdom were so satisfied and happy. He treated them just like his own children. So in this way, he was a great devotee also of the Lord. And when he got to the age of retirement, he gave up his kingdom, said he just left. He divided his kingdom between his sons. and all the money that he had saved, he had divided between them. And then he left, and he went to the ashram in the Himalayas on the bank of the Ganga called Pulaha Ashram. And there he kept his devotional service going. And then one day he was meditating on the Lord's feet next to the river, and there was a pregnant deer that came along to the river, and a big lion roared, and the deer was scared and jumped over the river, and she gave birth as she was jumping over the river. And this little fawn was in the river, gonna drown, and the mother went to the other side and then died. And Maharaj Bharat saw this, and he became distracted from his meditation, and he went in and saved the deer. And it said that he just spent all of his time feeding this deer, taking care of this deer, always worrying about the safety of this deer, because he knew he had no shelter other than him. So in this way, he deviated somewhat from his devotional service. And I was thinking while reading that, it's so easy to be deviated. You know, he thought he was doing something good by saving this deer who had no shelter. His mother died, and he was drowning in the water. And yet, it just took him away from his devotional service. And at the time of death, the deer had gone away for a little while, and said Bharat Maharaj kept going, "Where is this deer? The deer, the prints of his hooves." He was talking like a madman at one point. "Are blessing this earth. The earth is so fortunate to have the footprints of this deer on it." You know, I mean, you can't imagine someone so advanced speaking like that, but that's the way he was feeling. And then at the time of death, who did he think of? The deer, obviously. And then he got a deer body. But because Krishna is the source of all knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness, he gave him the remembrance. So he remembered what he had done in his last life. And he was thinking, the Bhagavatam says he was thinking, "What a fool I was. I gave up my family. I gave up my kingdom. I gave up everything for Krishna, for worshiping. And then here I get attached to this deer, and now I have this deer body." So it said he left his dear mother and went off back to the ashram to associate with the devotees there. And he just stuck there with the devotees, hearing every day, and eating a little grass and dried leaves. And then at the end of that life, he got the body of a Brahmin boy. But he remembered again, he remembered his last life, and he thought, "I'm not doing that again. I'm not going to fall trapped to the social life and becoming attached to so many things." So he acted like he was a crazy man, although he was the most saintly person. But he was acting like he was mad. Said his father tried so hard to teach him how to become a good brahmana, but he would mix everything up. Said his father would say, "Wash your hands after using the bathroom." And instead, he'd wash his hands before. So everyone thought he's just mad. And so when his father died and all, his stepmother treated him like he was a crazy person and put him out in the field to drive away any deer or anything that would come at night to eat their crops. And so he was called Jad Bharat. At that time, he didn't give any, he didn't say, "No, I'm not a fool. Don't put me here." He just accepted whatever Krishna was giving. And he stayed there. And then one night, some dacoits came. And they decided that he'd be a good person. They would offer to Kali as a man animal, because he didn't have the brain, because they'd lost their last one. The last one ran off, so now they're looking for another. So they saw Jad Bharat, and they took him to the temple of Kali, and they prepared him. They put oil on him and bathed him, prepared him for an offering to be offered. And when they raised up the sword for killing him, Then out came Kali from her deity form and chopped the heads off all the dacoits. Because here was a devotee, she didn't want to see him killed. So later on also, he was let go, then he went off wandering, still pretending to be a madman. But the king came by with on a palanquin, and one of the palanquin carriers was not feeling well, I guess. And so they asked Jodhpurat to carry the palanquin. So as he was going along, he was bumping the king, and the king was saying, "Walk properly, stop bumping my palanquin." So he's walking, but he's trying to step away from all the ants. And I know when we walk on our driveway, there's so many ants everywhere, it's practically impossible. You just keep walking all over trying to avoid the ants. So he was doing that, and the palanquin was shaking and going up and down. You can imagine the king was so angry. He said, "Put this palanquin down." And he started shouting at Jodhpurat. But then Jodhpurat so mercifully bestowed upon him knowledge. He just started telling him, "You know, right now you're the king, but in other lives I was the king." You know, we're. And he just described to him all transcendental knowledge. So then King Rahagana realized, "Oh my gosh, I made a big mistake. Here's a devotee of the Lord, and I'm, you know, shouting at him and having him carry my palanquin." Anyway, so in that way, I was thinking we have to be so careful of what we become attached to and how we let our minds go off to other places. I know the internet is the best way to do that. It takes you, it's called a web because it does. It takes the mind and goes off into all other places. But so somehow or other, we have to try to keep ourselves strictly on this path of devotional service. And luckily, Prabhupada gave us the morning program and devotees, temples that you can come and associate with devotees and become enlivened. We have classes every morning. And it's the best way to keep ourselves in the fire of devotional service. And there's so much service to be done for the Lord. So in that way, we can remain fixed in our Krishna consciousness and not be deviated. But it's up to us to keep ourselves from being deviated. And I think that's where Prabhupada at the end said, you know, if you're with devotees that are transcendental, then you will also become liberated, transcendental, because they're like touchstones, and they touch us and make us Krishna conscious. So even by reading Srila Prabhupada's books, I remember when I first became a devotee, I had read one of these little Gita Press Bhagavad Gitas. Do you remember those little, they had a picture of Krishna and Arjuna on the battlefield. But I read it and couldn't make heads or tails of it. It was just so way out there in my mind. So I thought, wow. But I was very attached to it. I would carry it around. But then I got Srila Prabhupada's Krishna books. And they were so amazing. Oh, the Ishapanishad as well. The Ishapanishad was quite amazing because it sounded almost impersonal, which is what I'd heard all before, was impersonalism. And yet, Prabhupada would bring you back to the person of Krishna, which was so amazing. And so reading those books, because it's associating with pure devotee, it purifies the heart and it gives you faith. So I remember taking these Krishna books everywhere and reading them from cover to cover, cover to cover, over and over again. I thought, this is so amazing. This is God. You know, who would think God herds cows, you know, rolls around in the dirt, holds onto the calf and is pulled all around. We have a new calf and they run so fast. And I was just thinking the other day, watching him running, thinking, Wow, Krishna was just pulled along by a calf running through the dirt and mud, and I'm sure there was cow dung there as well, and he was just enjoying himself. So in this way, Krishna's life is explained to us in the Krishna book, and by that association, we gain some attachment. And that's what we're looking for in this life. We don't want to waste it. We've wasted millions. Now we have this human form. We can't waste it. So we need to keep ourselves in line and stay with devotees. I know on Sunday coming to the temple, I felt like, wow, this is so amazing. We can come here and stay and hear and chant. It's just so nice. Where else do you get this? I remember going to Mass and you'd sit there and the priest would be saying something, usually about money. And I'd be sitting there thinking, oh, wow, when is this going to be over? You know, but it was just, but I don't get that coming to the temple. It's just nectar. Seeing everyone dancing and chanting, and you're being washed of all your sinful life. And Lord Chaitanya, I was also considering that we were just reading about Jagai and Madai, and they were so sinful, and yet Lord Chaitanya removed all their sinful reactions, and they were purified. So we can also be like that, even though we've maybe done so many sinful things. But if we can keep ourselves under the shelter of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, then we can also be purified. Okay, so these qualities of a devotee. Actually, we used to teach these in Gurukula, and we had a little song. Kind to everyone, does not quarrel with anyone, fixed in the absolute truth. And then we'd talk about them. But you can see them all represented in our line of disciplic succession. Srila Prabhupada was a perfect gentleman. He was kind to everyone. Imagine coming over here at that age. I mean, I think of myself at this age, and he came even later than what I am old. And I can't even imagine leaving your home to go somewhere you don't know anything about, really. You don't know anyone there. Getting on a steamship and going all the way to the United States. It must have been such an amazing feat. I mean, who would do that? Who can do that? And then all these young followers that join, living with crazy people, and yet his association acted like that touchstone that gave the devotees these 26 qualities. Now you look around, you can see so many devotees with all these qualities of a devotee, and you can associate and get those as well. It's pretty amazing. Okay, I'll stop there if there's any questions or comments or additions or...
Thank you. Regarding Jarabharat, very nicely you have narrated his three lives. I have some idea about why Jarabharat did that, but I want to throw that question to you or anybody who would like to help. His father had an affection, love for him, but he never revealed to him who he is. He was acting like an opposite, as you mentioned. Wash hand after you clean your back, but he would wash before he start passing. So it was like a little strange, weird. But he never revealed. But he was fully aware who he was. With his brothers, with his stepmothers, who was abusing him, he never revealed anything. With the Tyagis, those people arrested him or wanted to offer him, never revealed. What made king, in his perception, that made him that he wants to reveal who he is to this person? What was the igniting point that other failed? Or what was the cause? Why him, not the others?
Mm.
Because amongst us, there could be very senior most devotee, may not reveal to us, I may not know. I may pass by, walk by in the temple or something.
True.
So I'm just curious.
What do you think? You said you had an idea.
Well, I want to hear maybe. I can throw it. Because he was inquisitive, he was going to Kapila Ashram. Mm. Because he was going to Kapila Ashram generally they go there to learn. He wants to learn about life and God. So because he met him, even though he was a palanquin carrier, but in the beginning he found out that he is going there, and when king was chastising him, you're not acting, you know who I am, he was revealing. Then he was expressing or revealing himself with his teachings that maybe he felt he will be recipient, a good receptive mood. I could be wrong, but that's how, the only thing. With his stepmother, brother, or father, they are not receptive. They are just wants to correct him or abuse him. I could be wrong, but that's how I see it.
I was also thinking King Rahugana, maybe Judd Bratt thought about himself in that position at one point. You know what I mean? I was also a king at one point. Let me try to help him not to fall into the position that I fell into. And I know with his family, it said in the Bhagavatam that he acted dumb. He didn't want to be married, and they would try to get him married if he was just a normal Brahmin boy. So acting like that, there was no question of getting him married to anyone.
Hmm.
So that kept him from having to get entangled in material life. Because that was his main goal, no more attachment and entanglement in this material world. I'm getting out of here. I think we all have to feel like that at some point. I don't want to be here any longer. I want to get out. I want to make this the end, not the beginning of many more births.
Hmm. Another, I remember in fifth canto, fifth chapter, one of the purport, actually two, Prabhupada repeated similar in the purport, that every Krishna conscious preacher should remember or learn the lesson from Jarabara's story, that before helping others, first help yourself.
Mm.
I took it very seriously. Something like that, I'm paraphrasing. Prabhupada said, everybody should help themselves before they help others.
That whole story has...
Yeah.
Prabhupada's purports are so amazing in there.
Yes, yes, yes. Because Jarabara was not helping himself. He was helping the deer.
Exactly.
But what about his spiritual life? He didn't help.
And so everyone would say, oh, that's such a nice thing. Look at what he's doing. So compassionate to this deer. You know, no one would find fault in that.
Yeah.
But you can see how it can ruin a whole life. His whole time up there and his whole previous life was just kind of ruined by that attachment. Anyone have anything to Himavati?
What struck me is how we can really not know who's a devotee of the Lord. And myself, I tend so much to listen to my mind that judges people all the time. And you have to constantly fight with your mind of having this attitude, because that may stop your vision from having access to these great, great devotees that externally you cannot see. That's just a reflection I wanted.
Thank you. That's so true. Our mind is always judging everything. Oh, they're not wearing their sari right, or maybe that one. Oh, look, they're doing this or they're doing that. Yeah, the mind. It's the enemy. Probably.
I don't know if it's appropriate to bring up. I was taking a seminar. I was participating in a seminar that Vaishnava Care, maybe last year it was, yeah. It was 3 days, 3-4 days. And different topics, of course. And at the end, I don't remember, somehow the lady who was conducting the seminar was talking about Bhaktaragava Das, Brahmachari, who took reincarnation in England. Actually, I said, you don't know, it's a very famous story. I said, anyway, I want to search. And by fact, he was like a devotee in this life, I don't know, previous life for him, and he took his initiation from Srila Prabhupada. And somehow or other, passed away in a car accident, book distribution, and he remembered the whole life in the, because he took reincarnation on a body of a lady. So he was a disciple of Prabhupada, and this life, I mean, the recent life, he took initiation from Bhakti Charu Maharaj. And, yeah. You know, it's a famous story, so I don't make it up. So, and he remembered on his narration how he remembered it, and he would say he was very attracted to Aunt Mataji in the kitchen. And in this life, he took a body of a lady. I mean, so, but likely he took as a devotee, but because he was participating in all devotional activities, his parents were life members, and he remembered from A, B, C, D, the whole life. It was appearing in his eyes, and he consulted those, his guru and Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and they were believing him. They were like giving incentives and said, okay, you can visit that person, can help you to make you remember, and he remembered everything. Mm-hmm. Because I was reading the story, how he passed away, how the traumatic things on his hands when he was in the hospital, and like detailed previous home, and so much. So it's like whatever we desire in the previous life is going to come back.
Yes.
So we have to be very careful, you know. I mean, somehow, you know.
Control the tongue, the mind. The mind is what Arjun say. It's more difficult than controlling the wind, because it's always here, there, and everywhere. So we have to make it our friend so that it reminds us of Krishna instead of...
And when he married in this life, he said, but he was never attracted to be married. And then his marriage dissolved. He said, I cannot be there in that position. Because he remarried, he was like dedicated to his guru somehow. He couldn't, you know, yeah.
Yes, we've definitely had other births, and if we're not careful, we'll have more. So we need to take it seriously to get out of here this time around. And Srila Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya's made it so easy, and Srila Prabhupada's brought it for us to understand. This isn't our first birth, we have to get out of here. Don't waste this human form. Srila Prabhupada used to say that, just give this one birth, you know, to this movement and to Lord Chaitanya. So that's why it's so amazing, like Divyanga Prabhu going out on Sankirtan, my husband, so many devotees. It's quite amazing. They're sharing Krishna consciousness. Sorry. That's what Krishna wants us to do. Lord Chaitanya wants us to do. Srila Prabhupada asked us to do. Just this one life. And it's so short. When you're young, you feel like it's forever. When you get older, you see it's just a little drop. It goes so fast.
And Tamal Krishna Maharaj says, what if I cannot make it? Then Prabhupada says, you try your best. If you lack of something, Lord Chaitanya will come down and fill up the gap, but will take you back home. So it's very heavy, nice.
So just stay on the ship.
Yeah.
Yep. OK. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai.